Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. A lot of important news that happened this weekend. I was, as I have been repeatedly throughout the summer, and how I tend to be, was at the lake this past weekend. For those of you interested, we cleared a lot of dead brush and, you know, satisfied some requirements from the province to make us safe from the drought-like conditions and wildfires. And the lake was exceptionally cold and helped stave off heat exhaustion, more or less. But Sunday morning, woke up fairly early for a lake trip because we wanted to get one last load to the dump before we left. And sitting there preparing breakfast, I flipped open my phone just to check what the news of the day was. And two things jumped out. First, and I wanted to do an episode, or I will probably at some point do an episode, on the situation in Afghanistan. The Taliban have retaken control of the country and have taken power for the first time again in 20 years. The war on terror, the war in Afghanistan, has dominated basically my entire life. I was very young when 9/11 happened, but I still have memories of it. And I remember growing up and having the war in Afghanistan and Taliban and Al-Qaeda being major topics in my life, and seeing it on the news every single day and hearing it on the radio. And as I grew older, I got interested in it. I've talked at length about Edward Snowden and my interest in military history. I have the book Killer Capture, talks about the drone strike programs in the Barack Obama administration. I have The Pentagon's Brain, Surprise Kill Vanish, which is all about special operations and black ops in the U.S., and Kill Chain, which also talks about high-tech, unmanned weaponry. And a lot of conversations around the war in the Middle East and the war on terror and the implications of it, and seeing what's happening right now, and the video coming out of the airport in Afghanistan, you see a lot of parallels to the fall of Saigon, the Vietnam War. And for a long time, the war on terror was compared to the Vietnam War, and it was unwinnable. It was an untenable situation. You were nation building while also staving off an ideological enemy, not a physical enemy, not a political enemy. You are fighting against an idea. And the Vietnam War, guerrilla warfare, trying to win hearts and minds. And as much as coalition forces tried to make it seem like they weren't trying to win hearts and minds in Afghanistan and Iraq, that's what the plan was. But I'm getting too far into this topic to be talking about this anymore. The other topic that I want to talk about is a little bit lighter and a little less complicated. It is the fact that following months of speculation, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau went ahead and asked the newly instituted Governor General to dissolve Parliament and call a snap election. And despite challenges by the opposition, Jagmeet Singh and Aaron O'Toole both saying that it was not the time for a federal election, this is what Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party want. So that's what Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party will get. And strangely enough, there's a long history of snap elections in Canada. This goes all the way back to 1865 in New Brunswick, where they called a snap election to vote on Canadian Confederation at the time. And we didn't see a Canadian federal election have a snap election until 1911. Or was it 1911? Yes. 1911 federal election was the first time a snap election was called, and it led to Wilfrid Laurier's Liberal Party being defeated. But in the last few years, snap elections haven't happened very often. I did an episode a while back talking about this, but in Canada, just to break it down for you, there are three main ways elections are called. There is the general, election cycle. It actually wasn't until, I believe, 2008, around there, where the federal election dates were set. The Elections Act didn't mandate having set election dates every 4 years until that time. It was always kind of 4-ish years after that previous election, and now that's instituted. So elections are called every 4 years, or the writ of elections are called down, and we have a general election. That's when the term of a prime minister comes to an end, and we have to have an election to see if we will elect a new one or retain the old one. The other way is a vote of no confidence, which many people are kind of conflating this, but we have had many, many federal elections. I remember growing up as a kid in the Harper era, there were so many federal elections, and I'll get into this in a second, but there were so many elections when I was a kid that I didn't know when it was a legitimate election and when it was something else. But Stephen Harper was subjected to a vote of no confidence in the House of Commons, and Parliament was dissolved. So a vote of no confidence is when a majority of sitting representatives in the House of Commons vote essentially that they have no confidence in the Prime Minister to conduct their job and to be a Prime Minister for the people. This usually happens when there are coalitions in the opposition. So you would need multiple parties to come together. So if, say, Jagmeet Singh and Aaron O'Toole wanted to call an election, they could potentially push forward a vote of no confidence by combining the Conservative votership in the House of Commons and the NDP votership in the House of Commons, maybe pulling in some Bloc Québécois with them to call a vote, to basically pass a vote of no confidence and call an election. But neither wanted that because, thanks to COVID-19 and the Liberal response to COVID-19, they are in a bad polling position. The Conservative Party has performed very poorly the last couple years after the whole debacle with Andrew Scheer and how he performed in the elections and how he performed against Justin Trudeau. He fell out of favor. He left the leadership of the Conservative Party, and Aaron O'Toole was voted in, seen as more of a moderate option as opposed to Maxime Bernier, who was running against him in the PC caucus's election for leader. So Aaron O'Toole starting to pull better, but has fallen behind recently. Same with Jagmeet Singh. These two opposition party candidates have been polling very low compared to Justin Trudeau, who just continues to soar in the polls. So they didn't want this election. Trudeau did. And that is where snap elections come in. That's the third way an election can be called. The prime minister has the power to at any time ask the governor general to dissolve parliament and call a federal election. Generally, the governor general is supposed to be the check against this. But as often goes with the way the governor general tends to work in Canada, they are appointed by the prime minister and they tend to do what the prime minister's bidding, even though Jagmeet Singh came out and made a statement saying to our current governor general to not follow through and not acquiesce to Trudeau's demands. Think of the COVID situation, think of what's going on right now, and just continue with a minority government. You need coalitions, you need to work together as a party to come to compromises and work together to have policy decisions made. And it really, what people who favor minority governments say, that it forces the party in power to work with the minority parties or the opposition parties to get things done. That way they can't just do what they want. Trudeau, with a majority with the previous election, was able to do really essentially whatever he wants. Then he suffered quite a few losses in the previous federal election and now has had to work with the NDP and Conservatives to get things done. He could either acquiesce to the NDP's demands to get things done, or he could work with the Conservatives to come to something that probably would make his party not very happy. So I want to run you through very quickly how many federal elections I've lived through. So 1993, the year before I was born, was the 1993 federal election. Jean Chrétien of the Liberal Party won with a 70% voter turnout, which is pretty good. He beat Lucien Bouchard of the Bloc Québécois and Preston Manning of the Reform Party. Kim Campbell, this is when Kim Campbell was briefly prime minister, and she, leading the Progressive Conservative Party, got absolutely demolished. Won just two seats, went from 156 seats down to two. Chrétien won 177, the Bloc 154, and the Reform Party won 52. So that was the year before I was born. After I was born, the next election was 4 years later, 1997. Again, Jean Chrétien won with the Liberal Party, lost 19 seats, stayed in power with 155. After that, 3 years later, in the year 2000, the next election was called, and that was Jean Chrétien winning yet again. Incoming in second place was Stockwell Day with the Alliance Party. And then after that, another 4 years went by with another federal election that was Paul Martin winning, keeping the Liberals in power, winning over Stephen Harper and the Conservative Party. Then 2 years later, Stephen Harper beats Paul Martin in the 2006 election. Then 2 years after that was when there was a snap election called, and Stephen Harper again won, beating Stéphane Dion of the Liberal Party and Gilles Duceppe of the Bloc Québécois to win stay as prime minister. The next election was 2011, when Stephen Harper won yet again, beating Jack Layton and the NDP, as well as Michael Ignatieff and the Liberal Party. I remember this election very, very well because this was the year before I was legally allowed to vote. So I watched this with a lot of interest because I was an NDP supporter at the time and still to this day kind of am. I might get to that later in the podcast. But then 2015 was the first federal election I ever voted in. And that is when Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party won their first majority. He defeated Stephen Harper, the incumbent, who then left federal politics. Thomas Mulcair and the NDP came in third in that election. And then was the last election, 2019. Justin Trudeau wins a minority government over Andrew Scheer in the Conservative Party, Yves-François Blanchet of the Bloc Québécois, Jagmeet Singh of the NDP. And this was the appearance of Maxime Bernier's People's Party of Canada with his track record legally. I don't know if he'll be able to run again. So if we just take a quick count of the number of elections I have lived through in my life, if you think about 4 years, every 4 years, it shouldn't be too many federal elections. But in my life, this upcoming election in September will be my 9th federal election in my lifetime. This is a lot of elections. There have been more federal elections than provincial elections in my life. I've seen more federal elections than provincial, which is weird for being a citizen of Manitoba, but we've been pretty stable with our leadership here in this wonderful Prairie province of ours. So that comes out to an election every 3 years since, I guess, 1994. So snap elections. Why would Justin Trudeau want to call one? It is particularly a tactical maneuver. As a prime minister, you have this power to call a snap election, and generally, they are called when the party in power wants to solidify their position, when they have a minority and they want to get a majority so they can move forward their policies a little bit easier, and they want to ride the high of whatever's been going on. Hard to say you're riding a high when it's COVID-19, but the Liberal response to the virus and to the pandemic broadly has given them a lot of goodwill. The other factor in that is the poor performance of Conservative premiers basically across the country. Specifically, the poor performance and the very bad COVID-19 situations in Alberta, Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec. So the UCP, a Conservative party in Alberta, the Progressive Conservatives here in Manitoba, the Progressive Conservatives in Ontario, and the Bloc Québécois in Quebec. The Bloc is a very strange thing to consider. It's a very Quebec political party, so I won't count them as Conservatives, really, because of a lot of their policies. But realistically, what Trudeau is looking at is the Bloc isn't performing all that well in Quebec, which is really a place where the Liberals, when you have a Francophone prime minister or a Francophone Liberal Party leader, which Justin Trudeau is, they tend to perform very well. That's just what Quebec is like. They like having Francophone people in positions of power because that's their guy. That's the horse that they've got in that race. Trudeau didn't do very well in the last federal election in Quebec, but with the kind of the poor response to COVID-19 that the Bloc has put up there, it's easy to see that potentially he could win some more seats in Quebec. The handling of the pandemic by Doug Ford in Ontario, Brian Pallister in Manitoba, and specifically Jason Kenney in Alberta seem to be what's driving this. People in these provinces are disillusioned with Conservative leadership, and a lot of them are starting to swing towards the Liberals and the NDP. We're starting to see a lot more support here for the NDP in Manitoba, specifically after what Pallister's done to our healthcare system, what he's attempting to do with our education with Bill 64, and what he's trying to do, or was trying to do, he's now stepping down as Premier, was trying to do with Manitoba Hydro. Trudeau is basically banking on Ontario, Manitoba, and Quebec, specifically Quebec and Ontario, flipping more red than they are now. Manitoba, it's always a coin flip. Alberta's going to stay blue no matter what you do. what this really means is that he's trying to win that majority again so he can get his policy decisions through a lot faster and a lot easier. As a person who has to pay attention to federal politics, or sometimes for work, there's been a little bit of a logjam. Usually a lot of liberal-sponsored bills get a lot of resistance from the conservatives, which makes it difficult to pass anything and get anything from the House to the Senate, where it's a little bit more of a rubber stamp operation, more or less. All the debates have happened. They kind of just say, oh, well, you know, House did it. Fine. So what this means is Trudeau's calling this election out of season, but what are the complaints? The big one, COVID-19. Obviously, the party leaders Jagmeet Singh and Aaron O'Toole do not like the fact that they aren't polling very well and their parties aren't performing very well where they have power. You know, the Conservatives aren't performing well in Alberta, in Saskatchewan, in Manitoba, in Ontario. The NDP not performing all that well out west, and really don't have a foothold in the east. So they're looking at this in two ways. One, minority governments give the other parties a lot more influence and ability to not just be token representation for their constituents. They actually have a voice. They actually have an ability to impact federal politics on a very broad level because they hold the key to getting anything done. The NDP could strike up a coalition with the Liberals and say, okay, you and us, we're working together. The NDP could say, we're pulling your policy a little bit further in our direction. But if we do that, if you let us do that, we'll get it through the House, no problem. No worries. Same thing the Conservatives could say, but there's a little bit wider of a chasm between the Liberals and the Conservatives than the Liberals and the NDP on a lot of issues. So they don't want this to happen because they don't want to lose the scraps of power that they do have. Because right now, I kind of like minority governments because it forces compromise. It gives people a little bit more of a voice and representation at the federal level, which is always great when you come from a have-not province or a province that doesn't really do a lot on the federal level in terms of power and influence in Ottawa. But really, it's all power. It's all political maneuvering. But the other conversation is, as of today, this podcast comes out on August 17th, the federal election is slated for September 20th. We are now smack dab in the middle of the fourth wave of COVID-19. Cases are skyrocketing basically across the board, specifically Alberta, Ontario, Quebec. Manitoba was doing a little bit better, but that's because we went through a pretty rough and long-lasting third wave, and we finally brought our cases down to below 100 active cases, and now they're starting to slowly climb back up, primarily driven by cases in northern Manitoba and very unfortunately in Indigenous communities, which really raises a question about how we need to help these people. So doing this right now doesn't seem like a good idea. Right now, we're dealing with a crazy, crazy drought season, smoke and wildfires, and we are dealing with a global virus. We are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic still. We're in the fourth wave. It's not the time, and the situation will probably be worse come September. It's not the time to call an election. And I'm of that mind. I think, personally, this is my personal opinion now, I don't think this is the right time to call an election. We are dealing with fires, literal fires in our backyard that need to be put out. We are dealing with situations provincially that need to take precedence right now than a Liberal power grab. Will the Liberals get a lot of stuff done if they can win this election and keep moving Justin Trudeau's run as prime minister going? For sure. For sure. Will they probably win a lot more seats? Probably. All the projections say that they're going to probably most likely win the election, and they will either win that majority they want or strengthen their hold in that minority, so they just need to sway a few more people from the other parties to their side. But thinking pragmatically about where we're at with the COVID-19 pandemic, this is not the time. This is not the time for this. For a little bit of background, the 2000 Canadian federal election was a snap election called because Jean Chrétien wanted to call the election before the Canadian Alliance could consolidate itself outside of Western Canada. I'm not going to go into what the Canadian Alliance is. It's basically the precursor to the PCs. And they were able to be reelected and get a majority. 2008 was the Quebec general election. Basically, Quebec had elections in 2008, 2012, 2014. And then there wasn't another federal snap election until this election. So basically from 2000 to 2021, all the snap elections were provincial. 2008 in Quebec, 2012, 2014 in Quebec, 2014 in Ontario. It was because of the NDP wouldn't support the minority liberal government's budget. 2015 was also budget related. 2019, Premier Brian Pallister called an election a year early in Manitoba, wanting to seek a new mandate. And then 2020 was the New Brunswick general election, which was held during the COVID-19 pandemic, which he called in order to facilitate a stronger hold so they could get through a little bit better. And then same thing, John Horgan, the 2020 BC federal election, wanted to keep stability moving forward for BC. That's what he said. It's the same thing every single time. They've got a mandate that they want to seek, and they want to consolidate power before they seek that mandate. For the Liberals, they want their post-COVID plan, or their late COVID, post-COVID plans to be handled the way that they want it to. They're banking on the fact that the Conservative provinces have not done very well, and they're on a federal level, the Conservative Party is losing favor with the Canadian electorate, and they want to consolidate power so they can move their mandate forward. And you're seeing the NDP and the Conservative Party scramble to pull out something that resembles the Liberal mandate, but pulls the mandate further in whatever policy direction they are seeking. The Conservatives' mandate is a lot of spending, but it's a lot of spending on private businesses to get the economy kickstarted. The NDP, to right now, while I'm recording this, hasn't stated their plan. They've got less than a month, roughly a month to do it, but it's probably going to be somewhere close to what the Liberals are doing, but plus one. They're going to take the Liberal mandate and push it more in the social democracy direction. So probably more power, more nationalization of things like pushing the national childcare program forward, probably pushing pharmacare forward. I'm guessing if the federal NDP are smart, they will push UBI forward, universal basic income, because we saw how well it worked with CERB. CERB was a great testing ground for UBI in Canada. So that's what you're going to see. This is the first federal election where millennials and Gen Z make up the majority of the voting base. So get out there, have your voice heard. This is the best time than ever, better time than ever to have your voice heard. But please, please, please be safe. And if you're going to go out, vote, please go out and vote. But please wear a mask if you do it.